So, Charlie, we're live. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm amazing. Thanks for having me.
So, who do I have with me?
This is Charlie Trujillo at Lettering Express.
Yes, it is. The Oklahoma City boy.
Okay,
see? See, I got it. Got that one right, at least.
I like it.
So, I've known about you for a while, but I haven't met you before until recently. I met you a couple of weeks ago back at Metro Raps, where they were holding an event with the Rap Institute, and it was a pleasure to meet you in the flesh. I've seen videos of you. I've heard about you.
It was great meeting you, Simon. I've heard your podcast, and I feel like I've gotten to know you just through your podcast. But then it was actually nice to put a face to a voice.
I exist. That's good. So, for everyone out there that doesn't know you or knows about Charlie, who's Charlie?
I'm Charlie Trujillo. I live in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I work for a company called Lettering Express. It's a family owned business. Myself, my wife, and my brother-in-law run the business. In the background, my father-in-law, Mike Lombardi, he's kind of like what we like to call the financial advisor. You know, he's been letting us do our own thing for probably the last, let's say, about 5 years or so. So it's been kind of cool, changing the direction of the company slightly but surely. And to go back even further, Lettering Express was started in 1988 by my parents. And mm-hmm. by a turn of events, I end up, marrying the new owner's daughter years later. kind of random and odd how it all came together. And
so that wasn't planned out?
No, it was. Definitely wasn't planned out. So the story goes, I'll try to keep it short and sweet.
Take the time you need. I have no
rush. Yeah. So the company was started in 1988 by my stepdad. He's been my stepdad since I was 5 years old. He's pretty much, he is my dad. He's was always there and shaped me and made me kind of the person I am today, for better or worse. He started the business in 1988, and in 2006, he sold the business. For reference, in 2006, I was a senior in high school. And he sold the business and to a gentleman by the name of Mike Lombardi. Mike Lombardi had never been in the rap industry or the sign industry. He was, in the eyeglass industry and, got laid off from his job and then, figured out what he was going to do. And, he's a smart businessman. So he jumped into Lettering Express. So back to 2006, I was a senior in high school and I moved away to Breckenridge, Colorado for about a year. And mm-hmm. I was a little snowboard bum there. Didn't do much, but just do the things you do in Colorado when you're, 18, 19 years old, and just had myself a fancy old time working at a deli. I made sandwiches, super exciting stuff. But I snowboarded every day and it was a good time. So I ended up moving.
Was that off-piste snowboarding or you did pipes? Or what kind of snowboarding did you do?
Oh, good question. So when I moved, I grew up skateboarding in Oklahoma and always just loved that culture and that lifestyle. And so I made a nice transition to snowboarding. I had never done it when I moved there, but I bought all the gear, bought the snowboard, bought the boots, bought the everything you need to go snowboarding. I got the lift, the season pass. And I'm going to hit the park. I'm going to hit the park. The park's where I'm going to be. And that wasn't the case. I ended up, I did go to the park, but not that much. I really liked the backcountry stuff. The buddy that kind of directed me for the gear that I should get for snowboarding, I didn't know at the time just because I was so naive and new to it. He basically talked me into buying a boat. It was like a long snowboard, like way too long for the park, but it was great. It was great for powder. And, I had a hell of a good time, but that's the kind of snowboarding, I like to do. I wasn't that good, but I was good enough to hang out and, on pow days, I could try to do something wild, like a backflip. And if I land on my head, I want to get hurt kind of stuff. But yeah, so I did that. And as a kid, at Lettering Express, I worked for my parents, and I was kind of a wild child. So they would have me work at the office quite a bit. So I got pretty good at weeding and masking and all that good stuff. So when I was moving back from Colorado, I needed a place to work. And when I was about 13 or 12, I worked for another sign company called Stacy's Custom Stripes. And when I was coming back to Oklahoma, I reached out to him to see if he was hiring. And he said, "Oh, that's great that you called. I just got a rather large account. You could really help us take on this load." So about 2 weeks before I'm, making this decision to move back to Oklahoma, he gives me a ring back and says, "Hey, I lost that account. Cool. It didn't go through. So this is the situation at hand. I'm not going to be able to hire you." And it's like, "Oh, sweet. I just quit my job. I am figuring out how to get out of my house." And I lived with a bunch of friends on the mountain. It was like four of us in a two bedroom. It was wild. We had good times, but,
let's not go into that.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, so I'm trying to figure all this out and what I'm going to do. I've already made this commitment to come back to Oklahoma. So I call Mike Lombardi, the new owner of Lettering Express. And I'm calling him, and he says, "No, I really don't need anybody. I appreciate, hearing from you, but no, we don't need any help." Click. It's like, okay, cool. Sweet. So, I still have this commitment that I've already made of getting out of my spot. I was the last one that was still in the spot in Colorado. So I had to move no matter what. So about 2 days or a day or so, I forget. It was extremely dramatic. My time has changed this story, I'm sure, slightly just by memory and, me making what I want to sound more exciting. He ended up calling me like a day or two before I moved back and said, "Hey, I'm actually letting a guy go. Do you want to come give this a whirl?" So I was like, "Of course I do." So I moved back, and I think I moved back on a Wednesday, and I went to work on that Thursday and that Friday and got my first paycheck from Lettering Express. And I think this is probably 2008 was probably the time frame. And at the time I didn't wrap vehicles. I was just a sign making kid that kind of grew up around it. And that's how everything came back together. Basically, I end up back in the door, and I'm doing the tour of Lettering Express, and I'm seeing some familiar faces, some people that used to work for my parents, and then some new faces. And Mike takes me back to the promotional products room where these two young ladies, Jill and Jennifer, were working, and they actually were his daughters. And I end up, meeting and playing friendly, whatever. And I end up calling my mom that night and being like, "Hey, first day at Lettering Express, super exciting stuff. But you didn't tell me that Mike had some smoking hot daughters." And the rest is history. Only time will tell. But, years later, we end up dating, and then eventually having kids, and eventually taking over the company alongside Justin, my brother-in-law. And now we're here in 2020 doing cool stuff in OKC.
So you're kind of like bred into the business. I don't know what to call it, but from you, since you were a child, you've been around it. Did the thought ever cross your mind that it might be interesting maybe to go for it when I'm older? Or did that thought never cross your mind?
It maybe did. In 2004, 2005, my parents were selling the business. I was working for a sign shop. I did it in high school. So I did it. I was a wild child. So my parents would, have me working at the shop on the weekends and, here and there. But we lived in the suburbs, and Oklahoma City is where the shop was. And so when high school came around, rather than working at a fast food chain or a grocery store or something, I was like, "Hey, I can work for a sign shop." And I did that in Edmond, and it was cool. And I kind of, started to figure out, my skill level. And at the time I wasn't rapping, and rapping really wasn't as big as it was today. And I remember thinking, "Ooh, man, those raps are cool. If, if I could ever rap someday, that would be really exciting. But the shop I was working for was still just doing, you know, die cut lettering, and they had digital printers and stuff, but it was all, you know, just signage, nothing yeah. crazy. But there was a small moment when my parents were selling the business in that time period. I was like, man, if I was older and had the money and the business thought process, you know, I would love to do this forever, but it really wasn't on my mind until years later when I came back and realized, you know, I did have a skill in this, and it all happened by accident, really. It's really weird. I look back to 3 years ago, and I look back to 6 years ago, and I look back to 10 years ago, and it's like, it all just kind of fell into place, and it's really organic the way that it worked out, and that fortunate that, you know, all of us kids get along and everything is going the way that it's going, and it's going good. So to answer your questions, I think about this when I was young, maybe for a brief second, but it never really crossed my mind that I'd actually be doing it.
So before we go to how things are nowadays, let's go back a little bit back. And do you remember your first rap?
Ooh, no, that's, I do remember my first like half rap.
Okay.
And this was probably, it wasn't even a half rap. It was a glorified, you know, big graphic that we kind of wrapped it, you know? And I'm sure all of us have done this rap that I'm about to explain, but it was probably 2004 or 2005. You know, who knows what material? I couldn't even tell you. Probably, you know, some Aurifol product, or maybe it was 3M. I have no clue. But it was a water splash graphic on a fender and a hood and the body side. And you know how it like almost like flames, but with water, in the sense of you can make a bunch of relief cuts between all of the water droplets and really form it, you know, and make it trick, you know, make it look like you have much more skill level than I actually make did. But I think that was probably the earliest big graphic that I can remember installing. Besides, when I was a little kid, I used to do trailer wraps, I guess you could call them, when I worked for this company called Stacy's Custom Stripes when I was about 13, just big pre-masked graphic kits on box trucks. That's probably the earliest that I can remember.
Were you sold on the first half rep, or did you liked it, or you thought, oh man,
I was so into it. Oh yeah, I was so into it when I was probably like 17 or 16. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. A guy at the time, he used to work for my parents. He had broke out on his own and started his own thing, and he had actually was trying to showcase himself in our city and, you know, the suburbs and all that stuff, and he was going to every sign shop saying, hey, I can do vehicle wraps. I'll do your vehicle wraps, because not everyone was offering it at this time. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, this dude was so cool. Like, oh man, this would be so sweet to do. So was I sold? Maybe a little bit, but you know, it didn't really click until years and years later.
So how did wraps find their way into Lettering Express then?
So in 2009 or so, or 2008, when I came back, they were doing them, but it wasn't like we're doing now. We weren't really good at them, but we were still pretty good. We had some fantastic girl installers. They were pretty much running all of our production and, installation. I mean, we had some guys floating around as well, but there was this one girl, her name was Ashley, and she was really good at vehicle wraps for the most part. But looking back at it, it really wasn't that good. But, you know, we slowly but surely, you know, 2009, 2010, we're doing them, and we realized, okay, we're getting pretty good at them. And then around 2000, I would say 14, 13 and 14, you know, I got introduced to some, you know, some education, you know, the Avery Dennison platform for their certification program. Mm-hmm. And then once we got certification, our first certification, we really started pushing them. And then it just, I don't want to say blew up from there, but that's when it blew up in my mind that, you know, we got to push this and, you know, create, because in Oklahoma City, people weren't, you know, getting as, it wasn't like California or New York or Florida, where it's the market's super saturated, you know, we had an opportunity to really get our foot in the door and, you know, corner the market, if you will.
Because for everyone out there that maybe doesn't know about it, Letting Express, that is a kind of like a one-stop shop, right? You guys do everything.
Yeah, we do a lot. We're traditionally a sign shop. I really don't like calling us a sign shop anymore. And I still do it just because I don't know how else to explain it. Because we're not a design firm. You know, we're not a custom
in-between, right?
Yeah, yeah. We used to say back in the day there were, you know, we're the tattoo parlor for your car. You know, I don't really get that. I mean, I get it, but I just, you know, it's, you know, we're the one-stop shop in the sense that we can do a logo for you. We can produce it. We can put it on t-shirts for you. We have a direct-to-garment machine in-house. You know, we have companies that we work here locally to do other forms of apparel like screen printing and embroidery and all that good stuff. And, you know, we can do the dome decals. We can do, you know, a lot of stuff. So, yeah, we're kind of the one-stop shop.
But is your section the wrap section, or what are you up to nowadays?
So nowadays, you know, just running the business alongside my wife and brother, I find myself sitting at the desk pretty much all the time. I pick and choose what I wrap. I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that. I've been wrapping a lot more lately, just so I can stay sharp. And, most of the time now my role is, you know, sitting in meetings, sales, you know, trying to grow the business, working on tomorrow, not so much today.
And do you guys cover Oklahoma City and around it, or you do national projects as well?
Yeah, we do. So with all the certifications, we have stuff coming in from all over the country. Right. But yeah, we cater to Oklahoma City, you know, Edmond and Norman, you know, our metro area. You know, we'll go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's about 2 hours away. You know, we've done jobs in, you know, Texas and surrounding states. If the price is right and the client, you know, agrees to our terms, we'll go wherever they want us to go.
Cause I remember I asked you how big Oklahoma City was, cause I thought it was big, like Miami or something like that, but it turns out it's big, but it's not that big, right?
No, it's not that big.
How do you stand out? I mean, competition must be fierce, I guess.
Yeah, well, no. So it's not that big. And, you know, I can walk outside the doors of my shop. And if I had, I can't throw a rock and hit another sign shop, but I could get close. Like there's sign shops all over Oklahoma City and our, you know, Tulsa, you know, Edmond, you know, Norman, our surrounding areas. So it's not saturated, but I feel like there's enough business to go around that we're not really stepping on each other's toes. I feel like in Oklahoma City, if you want the best wrap you can get, you're coming to Lettering Express, but you know, it depends on the price point you're wanting to spend. But the way we make ourselves stand out, I would say, is our social media. You know, the fact that we've been in business for over 30 years helps us stand out. And then obviously all of the certifications and the networks we're affiliated with, I feel like that also helps us grow our business as well.
So let's go to the first question that comes to mind. What networks are you guys affiliated with?
So with the certifications, we have pretty much, not all of them, but we got a lot of them, you know, with Avery and 3M and Arlon and Orfall.
The standard ones, I guess.
Yes, the standard ones are correct. And then we're affiliated with Masters of Branding and Pain is Dead Vehicle Wrap Networks.
I know that you compete, right?
But I want to know. Yes, here recently I've been doing it a lot lately.
Yeah, I want to know, how do you get to a point that you think, okay, I'm going to start competing?
It kind of, for me, it happened on accident. When RapsCon here in the States came out, right. I think it was like 2015 maybe. I was working a booth there. I was fortunate enough to be asked into like the Muto booth to work with a number of folks. And I would wander around certain parts of the day, and there was a rap competition I remember going on, I think. And I remember thinking, this is really cool. I was like, I've never seen this before. And then the second year RapsCon, I went to it. There was a bigger rap competition. And then I think the third year I actually competed in the rap competition. I didn't do very good. I couldn't even remember. I couldn't even tell you what I got. You know, maybe out of 22 people or whatever it was, I might've gotten 15th or 9th or I don't know, not super far, but it's kind of happened by accident. That's, you know, how I got into the competing. But when I really got excited about it is, you know, I've always told people I just compete for fun. You know, if I do good, I do good. If I don't, I don't. You know, the networking alone is money. It's great. It's super beneficial for whoever gets in that competition. But then I won one last year. In the last couple of years, I've gotten third at the Rap Olympics, and then I got third 2 years in a row. And then me and Shane out of Hawaii with Zero Raps, we got first in that team competition, and it really just kind of lit a fire under my butt about like, this is exciting, you know, and just kind of pursued it and started doing it more. And, you know, I always wanted to do the World Rap Masters, and they had never had any that were very close. So I never had the opportunity, but then one came out in Japan. The first one happened in Japan, and I was like, oh dude, I've always wanted to go to Japan and I got to make this happen. And, you know, talked to my team and said, guys, come on, let's send me to fucking Japan. And, you know, end up doing that. And yeah, now I'm going to Madrid here in a month or so to compete the World Masters Europe.
Is it harder than it looks?
Oh yeah. Oh man. Oh yeah. I remember the first couple of competitions, you know, they say go. And then I like look at my hands and be like, how do these work? Like it's like time slows down or something. And like, or time speeds up really is what I should say. And you know, it takes some getting used to, but you know, some people aren't very good test takers, and it's similar to taking a test in the sense that you have to, at this moment in time, you have to deliver. You know, you might be a good installer every day of the year, but if you don't deliver on that day, you know, you're not going to advance. You're not going to go anywhere with it.
So how do you work around it? What do you focus on?
For me, for me, like I said, I wasn't taking it too serious until, you know, here recently and actually, you know, training and practicing. But I would say it's just doing it, just getting yourself out there. You know, the first one's the worst. The second one gets a little better, or even just in the rounds, you know, the first round is the worst. If you make it through, you're going to be better the next round. But just staying confident in yourself and just, you know, keeping yourself in check, know where your strengths are. You know, if you can squeegee really fast, but you like take a long time to measure, you know, make sure everything's straight in the line, you know, make sure you take the time to measure it out. But whenever you get to that spot that you can thrive and really bust some shit out, that's when you need to explode in that moment in time, you know?
Cause it's a combination, right? It's speed, quality, right placement, and all, and I don't know what else they're judging on.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I really never know what the grading criteria is, because you know, sometimes it's there for you to view and sometimes it's not. Mm. But yeah, it's definitely speed is a big name of the game here. If you get more done, there's more to grade. That's what I've been led to believe. And then quality is there as well. Registration is a big one. You know, keeping your space clean, not damaging the vehicle or yourself, so you can't cut the car or cut yourself. You know, there's lots of professional attitude is another one I've seen and seen as criteria for it. But yeah, that's the main thing is don't cut the car and get a lot done, and you know, be respectful to the space and the people around you.
That sounds like our day to day, right? Don't cut the car.
Hopefully. I hope that's
good. Get the job done. So you said something about Japan, right? You managed to get there. What I'm really interested in hearing what you got from that trip, right?
Oh, yeah. Home. Yeah, Japan was amazing. So that was my first time. Like, I'd been to, you know, being here in Oklahoma, smack dab in the middle of the United States. I'd only been, you know, for my honeymoon, I went, you know, to the Dominican Republic for, you know, a couple of travels. I went to Mexico, you know, and then I went, where was it? I don't remember, but this was like my first real out of the country experience, you know, definitely culture shock. You know, no one really spoke English, besides our friends and, you know, not very many of the folks, in the competition spoke English, but, no, it was amazing. We had a beautiful time. The country is so clean. The people are kind. That's one of the biggest things I took away from it, is how clean the country was, and how kind everyone was. It was, and respectful. It was very nice, you know, being, you know, from a, you know, Oklahoma, you know, small kind of boring place in the United States, and then going to a country like Japan, and where everything just seems exciting. It was definitely fun. It was a lot of fun.
What did you learn from the Japanese rappers then?
Oh man, they got them tools on lock.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so cool. Yeah. But I liked the culture. The culture was very exciting. Being friends with Tadashi and Tatsuya and you know, the rap tech guys, and just kind of communicating with them through Pain Is Dead over the years, and Tadashi with Masters of Branding. It was really cool to experience that culture, because you see it from a distance, you know, on social media or something, and like, oh, that looks so cool. And then you get there and get to experience it, and people are so kind and respectful, and you know, they're all about quality, not speed. You know, they want to get it done and get it done right. I like the teamwork they utilize in Japan. I feel like I'm really big about teamwork at my shop, and you know, not having someone just stuck on a vehicle by themselves. And the Japanese are definitely implementing that, working as a team. And I dig that.
Right to the next question. And that is Madrid, right? Coming up in a month's time, I think.
Yeah.
What are your expectations? What are your hopes? Besides drinking some sangria.
Well, I'm realistic. I'm extremely realistic. So when I went to Japan, I got third, you know, and I was pretty bummed about it, but I think the judging was fair. And I had a good conversation with Jim Miller after the competition. Jim Miller was one of the judges, and we all know who Jim Miller is. We get back to the hotel, and the wives split off because they've been trying to go to this store to look at whatever this, they're doing something, and Starla and Jill had separated, and Jim was like, hey, I'm going to go up and take a shower and go to the bar. I'll be there in like 15 minutes. You want to do that? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So I go smash out a shower and go back downstairs. And you know, this is the first time we actually talked about the competition, because we had traveled together. But he was a judge and I was a competitor, and we kept it respectful and didn't really talk about the competition outside of the competition. And, you know, we started talking about it, and he gave me some really good advice. You know, I always tell people, I'm not a very fast rapper. I'm a very good rapper. I know my shit. I've been doing this for a long time, and I would say I'm a very good installer, but I don't feel like I'm the fastest at doing it. And like I said, with the competition, it's the name of the game. But Jim told me something really good that night. He goes, Charlie, you're a fast rapper. He's like, you rap really fast. He's like, but you cut so slow. He's like, I'll fall asleep. You know, he's being sweet about it, you know, but he's like, hey man, you need to work on that. He's like, practice that shit. And so that's what I've been practicing, is cutting faster and, you know, registering stuff faster and squeegeeing faster, but still keeping that quality there. So my expectations, to answer your question, I'm realistic, man. You know, I'm realistic, and these European guys, you know, I'm not dumb. They're fucking there to bring it. And, you know, I would be through the fucking moon if I got third place in Europe. You know, I'll be happy to to advance past the first couple rounds. You know, I'm traveling really far to compete, but at the end of the day, dude, I'm in Spain. You know, I'm having a good time. I have good company of these rappers from all over the world. So that's my realistic expectations. I want to go in there, do my best. And, you know, I've been practicing, working on my weaknesses, and hopefully I will succeed and at least, you know, show face. That's the main goal.
So I guess I'll be seeing a Speedy Gonzalez when it comes to cutting then.
No, you know, you know, no, I'm still slow. You know, I've been rapping more lately. When I went to Japan, I didn't practice too much. Just because we had, some issues with our building. I'm not sure if you heard about that, but we had a huge storm come through and like ripped our roof off, and we had a whole bunch of damage, and it was a big old mess. And, you know, we were cleaning up the parts for months and months and months. And, you know, the Japan thing kind of came out of nowhere, and, I hadn't really been rapping. You know, I had like a month's time to get ready, and, you know, I kind of practiced a little bit, but not really. But, you know, I just signed up for this, World Rap Masters Europe, and, you know, but it'd been on my mind, you know, since Japan. So I've been practicing more and more, more so than I did for Japan.
I had no idea about the storm. So, I mean, that must have drained you, your energy, I guess.
Oh, man, such a mess. Such a mess. It was crazy.
There's no way to prepare, right?
No, of course, insurance. You can prepare in those ways, but it was wild, man. So we don't own our building. And we almost bought the building about a year ago. Maybe I'm so bad with time. It's probably about a year ago. We were really close to doing it, but there were some tenants in the building, and they weren't paying rent, and we didn't want to have to evict them, and the current owner didn't want to evict them, and he wanted us to deal with it. And we're like, well, no deal. So we never bought the building. And, you know, we were looking at other locations and trying to find some place, but for now we signed a long lease and protected ourselves, and we're good to go. But right after the storm came through, and, you know, my wife gets a message saying, hey, the alarms are going off at the shop. And, you know, she walks in the room and goes, hey, will you check the cameras? And the alarm's going off. I'm sure it's nothing. You know, the building was old, and the building is kind of old and shitty in a way. And, if it shakes from the wind, you know, we have crazy winds here in Oklahoma City or Oklahoma. And, you know, sometimes that shaking of the wind or the windows will set off the alarms. And I go to, I pull up the app to check the cameras, and I can't see anything. It's like someone had sneezed on the damn camera. I didn't know what was, and I'm like, what's going on? And I like focus, you know, my eyes on like what's really going on. And it was actually humidity and water had been, you know, the whole building was flooding as I was watching it live. I was like, oh my. And I like, I'm like talking to my wife, like, I can't even get it out. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I gotta fucking go. Our building's underwater. Call your brother now. Check the cameras. Bye. And like ran out the door. And I live very close to my shop. 5-10 minutes, you know. So I drive over there, and I'm walking into puddles, and I'm trying to figure out where do I start, you know. Our flatbed printer has a puddle on top of it. Our table has, you know, puddles on top of it. There's rain. I can see the sky. It's crazy. It was so crazy. So, you know, we rallied the troops. I finally got my brother-in-law on the horn. And, you know, I think this happened at 9 p.m. at night. I think we stayed till probably 2 or 3 in the morning. And we were just, the rain finally stopped, and we tarped what we could and saved the printers and the computers. And we had just invested in all of these new desks, like these awesome rising desks for the whole staff. And, you know, I'm like, fuck the computers, save the desk, dude. You know, cause they're all electrical. So it's like, oh, it was such a mess. But, you know, we, you know, we're still dealing with it right now to this day, you know, and we got a rather large check to cover from insurance, majority of it, all of it, if you will. But we're still finding stuff that's messed up and we're having to reopen that. The claim never really closes. So we're just readdressing it. So it's not too bad, but I'll tell you what, man, we learned a lot. You know, we learned a lot. It was interesting.
What would you have done different?
Had the roof checked? You know, we knew the roof was bad. We had leaks all the time. Like, we knew it was there. You know, we should have been smarter, but we don't own the building. That's the problem. But now we have a new roof and the building has been sold and the new owner is, you know, young and active, you know, and he looks at us like, hey, out of this building, you know, you guys are renting out majority of the space. You guys are successful. He's putting his business in the end corner lot. And, you know, so it's exciting times now. It should be nice and proper here in the future for us.
Wow. I've had a flooding myself once also in the company.
Oh, man.
It's a drain of energy and yeah, getting you know, things done and yeah.
Yeah, I don't wish that on anybody. Thankfully, we didn't miss a beat. Our North location handled all of the production. So majority of our production was in our South location, and we moved all of our production to our North location, and we moved, you know, some of the staff over there to take on that extra weight and that extra load, and we really didn't miss a beat. So we were able to, you know, get everything, you know, get the lights fixed and get all the electrical back up pretty quickly. And, you know, we had the disaster people come out and suck all the water out of the walls and the floor, and it completely ruined everything, but we got it all fixed. But we were fortunate enough to not really miss a beat.
That's sweet. So another thing I also wanted to talk to you about. You mentioned it at least when you talked about Japan, or sorry, you mentioned it a little bit when you were talking about it before, social media, because you guys do videos, but you don't do them in the typical way for the industry.
Yeah, we like to keep it weird, you know.
I don't know, but like, I would call it weird, but take me through it.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. I remember, so to take it back a little bit, like I said, like 2014, 2015, we really started pushing raps and, you know, social media, Instagram was becoming a thing. I'm sure you remember that time. It was very exciting. All of this information was, and hashtags and all this stuff was just coming all at you once. And you could, not physically, but you could see this information, you know, instead of being in your little bubble, you know, you're open to the whole world. And, you know, I was seeing these hashtags for Pain is Dead and vehicle wraps and all of these things and seeing these videos, and it all looked the same, man. It all looked like Transformers were wrapping cars or something. You remember what I'm talking about? Like that like, boom, 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 boom.
Yes,
like fucking
yes.
Michael Bay was editing these things.
Yes. I think we have a couple of those videos, so yes, I know.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with those videos.
No.
Yeah, everyone is doing it, and I wanted to make ourselves stand out. So, you know, we tested the waters a little bit here and there, and, you know, we were getting some proper feedback, and then we dove full in, and, you know, we have a full social media department now, and that's dedicated. That's all they do is make videos and update our website and, you know, get our newsletters out. And, you know, that's, you know, that dedicated time. That's how we stand out. You know,
is it worth it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, everyone, I go to a show or something and, people are like, oh, hey, I've been watching your videos for years and you guys are great. You know, and they'll give me all these cool compliments and stuff. And, that's awesome. But, you know, I can't pay my bills with, you know, love letters from my peers, but,
you can try.
Yeah. Bank, don't take them.
Yeah.
But, No, it actually is. It's working here locally too. You know, it's coming back home. We'll see clients come in and say, "Hey, I chose you because your website. I chose you because your social media." And it's like, you That's seem great. Like you have my values. You kind of on the same page as me. And we don't want to work with that sign shop. You know, you guys are fun, and that's so. It's worked for us, surprisingly enough, we've been quite lucky with that.
To be honest with you, I saw one of, I think it's the last one. It was released in a couple of days back, I guess. I like that one a lot. It's the one with the tools.
So, yeah. Yeah. So
tell everyone what's that idea and who came up with it. And
yeah. So, so my sister runs our social media. We bounce back and forth ideas all the time. And you can usually tell what was kind of her idea and maybe what was my idea. And then when they get mixed and you really can't tell whose it is, that's when we've done a really cool collaboration piece. Mm. This video, I don't remember exactly how it came about. I think obviously I know the bag was brought up because everyone was talking about how cool this bag was I got from the guys in Japan. I don't want to mispronounce his name. Fujito, I can't even pronounce his last name.
Japanese is a hard language, so.
But yeah, he has this company. I believe it's called Genesis, and he's got these great tool bags. But the way the video came about is, I remember talking about it, but I don't remember if it was my idea or my sister's idea, but I know by the end of it, it was a collaboration piece. But we knew that Chris is our head installer. He's a great guy, and he was kind enough to let us, make a goof out of him in this video. The idea was basically that, hey, Chris is jealous of this bag. And I don't want to say in real life, Chris was jealous of this bag, but he liked the bag, and that's kind of the idea kind of started, and we ran with it. You know, there was all of these ideas of, that moment of Lady and the Tramp where they're eating the spaghetti and they kiss in the middle and all of that goofy stuff, or like a candlelight dinner and watching The Notebook. And, we had this goofy idea, and James, or maybe it was Jade, I forget who wrote the actual storyline and put everything together and got the dialogue cooking. And, a lot of it's ad-libbed, but it's also, we have a script, and we follow the script. And, we set aside the time to make it happen. And that was a fun one. I really dig that one. That was a good one.
I mean, it's props to you guys, because you're investing time and money on something that seems to be working.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like, some people think I'm high for, doing this. Like, you must be stoned. There's no reason to be like, why you have cars for a living? Why are you making videos about guys falling in love with a tool bag, because it's funny and it's keeping you engaged, and you're going to come back to my page and see what next goofy thing that we're cooking up. And, in the industry, cool, you come back, but I want my clients to come back. That's what I'm really looking for and it's really starting to resonate, and folks are really starting to respond to it. So it's exciting stuff.
I love the idea.
Thank you.
So I would like to maybe get some in-depth questions about the industry, right? Because you've been going at it for a while now, 08 approximately. So I'm interested in just hearing your train of thought when it comes to the industry and where you think it is going. What direction do you think it is going at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time. As a whole, our industry is quite young. But I think we still have a lot to learn as an industry. I think the products are just going to get better and better. I think there's a little bit of a going up and down effect right now, still trying to figure out that, you know, that adhesive, and is the slidable good or bad? You know, it depends on who you're talking to. Some folks love it, some folks hate it. But I think the colors are just going to get better. And I think the industry is going to grow. I think we'll start seeing, cheaper wraps, different level of wraps coming out, which I think is okay. You know, how you make yourself stand out, you know, is up to you. Maybe it's social media, maybe it's the quality of your work, maybe it's your price point. I don't know. But I think as a whole, is we have a lot to learn, and a bunch will be changing over the years. Maybe, you know, folks have trouble with how to, you know, insure their business. You know, it's not really a known thing. I think over time it will become a known thing, and there'll be, you know, dialed in processes specifically for our industry, as time goes on. So I think that's somewhat of the direction the industry is going. I think it's just going to get wiser and older, and everything will really come together as a whole. Because I feel like right now the general public still just doesn't understand what a vehicle wrap is, and what it does, and how quickly it can be done. You know, I think there's still just so much more to learn, specifically our end users, the client. I feel like they're still kind of in the dark of what's going on.
Yeah, like they really don't. Yeah. I get you.
I mean, right. Think about it. I mean, how often, like I have my car wrapped. Right now it's energetic yellow from AV Denison. And I'll go get gas, and it's every time.
What's the price?
Yeah, well, what's not even what's the price, but like, that's a cool paint job. It's like, dude, like, why would you think this is a paint job? I mean, I get why you would think that, but like, it's 2020. Like, there is businesses with, you know, someone's mug on the side of it, you know, the real estate agent with his or her face on the side of it. You know, like, someone's not hand painting that. Like, come on, it's a glorified sticker. And I still feel like the general public doesn't know what a wrap is. And I think soon enough they will. And
All right. The
market's going to expand. It's going to blow up, and it's going to be great for everybody.
Or you go, you tell them, and they go, it's a wrap. And they go, okay, what's a wrap?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like as time is going on, once you say it's a wrap, they know it. They know what it is. You know, because they go, oh, really? and then, like you said, the next question is, how much does that cost?
Yeah. I also wanted to ask you about is there anything you've changed your mind about the industry the last couple of years?
Yeah, there's a handful of things. You know, when I first, in 2015, when I really just started, like, you know, digging into this industry and really trying to figure out where Lettering Express sits. And we were quite fortunate to link up with Frank Fellers. He's from Oklahoma. And we were quite fortunate to do some work with them, and, you know, work in a booth with them at that first Wraps Con. And we were, you know, fortunate enough to, you know, have that experience. But at that time I was really, really hungry, and I'm still hungry. I'm always hungry, but I was really hungry for the color change market. And I think every installer that kind of, not every installer, but most installers, that's kind of their dream, is, you know, having a color change facility strictly, you know, only doing color change. And that was kind of my goal back in 2014, 2015. And that's not so much the goal anymore. I think it'd be cool to do that later, but right now, you know, I really want to establish myself in my market with, you know, the commercial game, you know, designing one wrap for a van and doing 100 of them rather than designing 100 different wraps. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the fleet game is awesome. And, you know, when I was younger, I was just looking at that, and, you know, the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis and the glory of doing the color change, wraps and doing all that exotic stuff. And, you know, the athletes or the musicians or the actors or actresses, you know, the famous folks, that was kind of like the, oh, this would be cool to do some stuff like these for these known folks, you know. And as time has gone on, I don't really care too much for that stuff. And if I get it, I get it, kick ass. But, you know, I think if I could go back, I wish I would have just focused on commercial more. We've always done commercial, but I kind of let it slip away. I was a little, you know, a few years, I was just focusing on that color change. And, you know, but at the same time, we end up getting more and more commercial wraps in the building. But, you know, I was just kind of blinded by that light a little bit.
And they're two different beasts. I mean,
totally. Yeah,
I know we talked about it. It's completely different one from the other, even though it's the same industry. It's
exactly. It's the, and if you get, you know, you get the guys from exotic vehicle wraps, and then you get the guys from Lettering Express. I mean, you know, we're kind of, you know, one and the same a little bit there, but you know, like you get a Fast Signs, let's say, you know, you get those guys in the same room and talk about how they do a rap, it's going to be completely different. It's not even, you're right, it's not the same at all, not even the same thought process.
I've it's sometimes hard if I ask myself going from one to the other, because we do both, right? So it might be, it's challenging because you need to change your point of view on what results you're handing to one or the other. I mean, because if you're doing a color change, it's a certain level on the wrap, and yeah, you could deliver that on the commercial side, but they're not paying you for that. So it's, I think that's an interesting piece to think about.
So, yeah. No, for sure. You know, just the stress level of the color change, life is a much higher too. I feel like the demands are higher, the quality is higher, the turnaround is usually quicker. But that also goes back on you as a salesman and a business owner, or whoever is making that sale for your company, is if you don't set expectations, I mean, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. So that's something I've learned over the years as well.
So let's go to some easier questions. What do you love wrapping the most?
So that's a loaded question a little bit. Mm-hmm. I love square footage, walls, buildings, whatever, floors, you know, that's what I really like. Cause the transformation is awesome. Cause that usually happens pretty quickly. Obviously the price point is great. Mm-hmm. I really like doing stuff like that, but I like doing the artsy stuff, you know, like you said, you know, you were, we hung out recently at Metro Wraps, and just, man, I was geeking out in that facility, man.
Yeah. You know,
just, I lost my words for a second. I just didn't even know how to explain it. You know, just like, that's the art gallery. That I would love to do is just, you know, more art cars. And, you know, I've done a handful of art cars over the years, and every single one of them is a great memory. You know, I don't remember really any stress being involved with those projects. It's just passion driven, you know, and those are the jobs I really, really enjoy, is the art cars and working with local artists. You know, we do a lot of stuff for local artists here in Oklahoma City. Pretty much all our staff is a musician or a comedian or some form of creative in their own right. You know, it's that's the stuff I really get into.
How big are you? How many people are you at the moment?
We float around 26 right now.
That's 26.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah, it's wild here in OKC. We're having a good time.
That's good. That's a lot of comedians and artists to have them under one roof.
Oh man, it's a, you know what, the vibe that you see on social media, it's not a front, man. You come into our shop and you hang out in the back. It's, you know, production is, you know, as much as they might not agree, they got the life. It's cool. I go back there. I think yesterday I walked back there and it was like 80s, you know, 80s music going on. And the vibe was just good. I dug it, you know, and I miss those days of just, you know, hanging out in production and geeking out on the table and on the vehicles and stuff. It's, we got a good vibe going on and I dig it.
That's important.
Yeah.
So we were just mentioning a little bit about art projects and all of that. But if I have to put you, if I have to put you in the spot, what project are you most proud of?
Project I'm most proud of is there's a local project here for a gas station that I took on a few years back, and it was way too big for my team to handle, but you know, I kind of knew it would be, we'd earn it throughout the process. And we conquered it. It took 2 years, but we developed a system that is good to go. And you know, that I'm really proud of me and my team for, you know, putting our head to the ground and putting in the work and the hours to figure it out. But that's boring and not cool at all. But that is it
a system for
I don't want to dirty the water here. It's I'm super proud of that, but you know, that's not exciting. You know, I would say one of the projects that I'm proud of, and you know, we can't even, I guess we could probably post it now, but at the time when we did it, we couldn't do it, but we did a commercial for, I think it was Jordan or Nike or something. And we wrapped a floor, a half court, and then like 15 foot of three walls for basketball. It was for a commercial for Russell Westbrook. And I forget the artist's name, but some artist was like the director, it was his brainchild, and the art was really cool. We had to do it in like 24 hours or something stupid, quick. And it was super exciting. That was kind of my first, one of the earlier dipping my toes into that, you know, working for that world. You know, some folks, you know, do a lot of stuff for HBO or, you know, the movies or whatever. And that was our first experience, and that was pretty exciting. So I'd say those are a couple of the projects I'm really proud of. You know, I heard years ago, and it's speaking of Bruno, you know, said years ago on the Rap Institute, I believe it was. And he said, you know, social media is all smoke and mirrors, you know, and that really stuck with me. And, you know, I think some people get stuck in this thought process of what they see on social media is real. And you get this, you know, not realistic thought process in your head of what it's like to maybe do something. And in reality, when you get there, it's like, this isn't cool. This isn't fun. This isn't what I signed up for. You know, it's interesting how that all works.
Yeah. Life, I guess.
This is true.
So what's your favorite color at the moment?
Ooh, good question. I'm really digging this Avery Dennison energetic yellow I have in my car. It's like poor man's gold chrome. right? You know?
Poor man's gold chrome.
Yeah, dude, it's sexy. I mean, I've wrapped my car a bunch of different colors. I had it silver chrome one time. I had it matte metallic pink. I've had it, you know, charcoal. I've had it one of those.
What car is it, by the way?
Oh, it's an Audi A3.
That's a nice car.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, as far as Audis goes, it's on the bottom of the barrel, but it's still sexy. You know, I love that car.
Nice lines.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say that. Yes, the lines are just money, you know. But this energetic yellow I have on my car right now, it turns more heads than the chrome did. It's just so wild, and it just looks so sexy. I love it. I'm really into it. But actually, we're wrapping a bunch of – Shane and I won RapsCon, Rap Olympics, and you know, part of the prizes I got or we got was a bunch of material just from a bunch of different manufacturers. So, you know, I'm pretty much wrapping almost not our entire staff's car, but you know, we have like, you know, I had like 10 or 12 rolls just like hanging out that needed to get used. And I might be exaggerating on the 10 or 12, but it's a lot, you know, eight, I don't know. But yeah, so right now we're doing two wraps in KPMF, and then You know, we got some Aurifol going through the doors. We got some what is that? Tech Wrap and 3M, and it's cool. There's a lot of cool colors coming out right now.
There is, and hopefully there will be a couple more in FESPA as well. So.
Oh yeah, man! I'm so excited about FESPA, dude. It's gonna be so cool.
Me too. It's gonna be interesting to see what comes out. I have one last quick question for you. What is your most recent trick that you're using a lot nowadays?
In reference to wrapping?
Yeah.
So it depends.
Or maybe you can maybe you can say, because you're going to FESPA soon, so maybe that's your secret weapon. I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot.
So lately, what I've been like to do is using parts of the body when you're designing something to register the graphic rather than having to measure stuff out. That's a really cool tip. I feel like everyone's doing that these days with the guys over in Australia, their crazy templates, and Kevin with PG doing templates and stuff like that. And I really like doing any form of template that I can to save myself some time. I think that's really cool. But no, honestly, and this isn't just like a plug for the Wrap Institute, but there's so much good content coming out of there. Rainer's doing all of these kick ass wild techniques that are just super cool. And, last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, when we were Metro Wraps, and Justin was doing that video for the circle, it's not the circle of life, the circle of wrinkles or whatever.
The bumper, right?
Yeah, the bumper, and no heat, and just like, it's a total different way to look at wrapping a bumper. And that's really exciting. Just taking a different attack or having a different view on, what things that we've been doing for years, that's kind of, maybe that's a good tip, is just kind of look at it differently. If you've been doing something the same way for years, doesn't mean it's right.
We're getting to the end, right? So if you were, let's say you get stopped over at FESPA or SEMA by some person that's just recently opened their wrap shop, what two advice would you give that person?
Easily get certified. Get link up with anyone that you can, get certified with whatever manufacturer you choose. Avery, 3M, whoever. That's really going to give you an edge on your clients in your local market. Like I said, education is huge. But even just like, staying in tune with the network, if they're at FESPA, they're already, if that's the case, if someone was asking me at FESPA, they're already in tune somewhat. They're trying to better themselves by going to a large sign show. And just knowledge is crucial for success. If you're starting up a business and you're not looking to get certified, and you're not adding that cost into the game, you're going to fail, just because you have to know how to use these films to properly sell them. I'm not saying you can't install graphics without having a certification. Don't twist the words here. But if you're starting up and you haven't been wrapping for 20 years, you should be definitely looking in to get certified. No questions.
It's a good investment on yourself.
Yeah. And it just feels so damn good. You pass that certification, and it's like, hey, you're recognized by the folks that produce the film. It's exciting stuff. I mean, still to this day, I get certifications. I'm leaving Sunday to go get a certification. It's important.
I mean, even if my train of thought is, even if you wouldn't get the certification because you didn't pass, just take it for what it is. It's just lessons. Okay, there's something here that I need to learn to become better. So, yeah, Get back to
it. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you have to constantly be working and growing. And if you're not doing that, man, you're going to get lost in the wind. You got to constantly try to do better.
Yes, yes. So, Charlie, I'm about to let you go. Like I always do, here's your spot. Now it's your open mic. You can tell everyone whatever you feel like telling everyone. So go for it. Words of wisdoms.
Ooh, that's a... I would say don't sweat the little things. Man, it's so simple, but... it's so simple. Just don't sweat the little things. I've come to find out over the years that the things that I stress about the most, I make the least amount of money on. It's so simple, and it's, I don't know, just man, don't sweat the little things, and you know, keep a smile on your face, and it's not so bad, I promise.
It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Charlie, for spending some time with me today. I hope to see you in FESPA, and I hope you take it home with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the time, man. Thank you. Thank you. Super good time. I will see you at the World Rap Masters, and hope all is well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers.